Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our 10:45 service here at Rose Hill. Let me invite you to listen to our choir as they begin our service with a very special song, Jesus Saves. Welcome everyone to our service this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the second time, let me encourage you to look in the back of the pew there. We have a communication card, and we'd like a record of your visit if you would fill that out with your name, address, and pertinent information and turn that into our offering plate. We'd like to send you a letter welcoming you to our church and thanking you for being here. So if you would, fill that out and put it in the offering plate. Also, if you have a prayer request you'd like for us to pray for this week, put that on that same card as well and turn that in for us. Just one quick announcement this morning before we go on with our service. Next Sunday, after our morning service, we are having a special luncheon for all of our Sunday school workers. If you teach a Sunday school class or if you help in a Sunday school class, we would like for you to stay for this luncheon, and we encourage everyone. I believe we're going to have soup and sandwich, so if you would bring a pot of soup, we're going to come together and we're going to have a lunch together and then do some planning for the future of our church through our Sunday school. So let me encourage you, if you're part of our Sunday school ministry, be sure and plan to stay for that special luncheon next Sunday right after our morning service. Well, this morning we have a special video about our Lottie Moon offering. This month is the month when we emphasize the Lottie Moon offering that goes directly to our international missionaries. And at this time, we'd like you to take a look at this special video.
We came out of a local church in Miami that supported the IMB for many years. I was not aware before we came on board with the IMB that there were close to 5,000 missionaries throughout the world being supported. After a while, we had some contacts with IMB missionaries and became IMB missionaries. We know that we ought to depend on the Holy Spirit, but also to a body of Christ that we are part of. And it's just wonderful how we as Southern Baptists can come united in one effort to carry the Great Commission throughout the world. I want to share a story about how that has helped us here in the mission field. As we started churches and met people in different neighborhoods, and we met a fellow by the name of Demetrio and his wife. His wife had come to Christ, and we met Demetrio, who had been an alcoholic for many years, and we started praying. But one day I felt compelled to go and talk to him, and he was drunk that day. And I said, Demetrio, tomorrow when you're sober, I'm going to come and talk to you about Christ. Be ready, because I'm coming. And I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him, and he broke in tears and just repented and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. There were other folks that God put in my path, especially Haitians. And we started planting churches with Haitians. And in the last 6 years, we've seen over 80 churches started. Your contributions make a difference. You make a difference for people who are lost and otherwise would be headed straight to hell. And in a united effort, we can be engaged in reaching people for the gospel. And I want to continue to encourage you to do whatever you can to support the missionaries in the field.
Our church's goal for this year for the Lottie Moon offering is $15,000. I must say we're not even close to reaching that goal yet. We do still have today to receive these offerings, and if you have an offering you're not prepared to give today, we'll certainly receive those after the end of this year. But be sure and try to participate in that. Pray about how God will lead you. You know, it's one way we reach out is through our international missionaries. It's a great commission fulfilled, and we can take part in that by being part of this offering. Well, let's continue our service this morning. Stand together with me as we sing the Salvation Medley. Let's sing this great song together. Jesus saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around.
Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time, we're preparing for our offering. On our prayer list this morning, pray for Bonnie Jenkins. Bonnie is at King's Daughters Medical Center, suffering from pneumonia. This is Miss Claire Lee's sister, and she went in the hospital, I believe, Thursday or Friday, and she is still there, very seriously ill with pneumonia. So pray for her, for her recovery. Also, pray for the family of Dorothy Spicer. This is Linda Biggs' mother. She lived in California, and Linda found out last Monday that she had passed away. So pray for Linda. She's traveling out there now, and we want to pray for that family, lift them up in prayer. We will not be having our outreach visitation tomorrow night, but I do encourage everyone, as we go about our daily lives, we need to reach out, invite people, share with people. Let's make it a lifestyle evangelism. Let's go out and invite and share. Folks, we're the only Jesus that some people see. So let's pray that God will lead us to someone that we can share with. Brother Scott Harmon is going to come and lead us in prayer. Pray for our youth group as well. They're in Gatlinburg today for their winter extreme, so pray for them as they travel back in a couple of days. Brother Scott?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to thank you again for this day, Lord. Allow us to come into your house and worship you, Lord. Lord, please be with our youth group as they are traveling. Please let anyone that's traveling with them, if they do not know Jesus, Lord and Savior, please let today and this weekend be their time of salvation, Lord. And please watch over them as they return home. Lord, please, we just want to pray for those that are on our prayer list today, Lord, that you keep your healing hand on them and their families, Lord. Lord, please... we just want to pray for this offering today, Lord, that you use it to further your kingdom, Lord. Lord, and if there is anyone here in this congregation today that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please let today be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gave his life for us. Let's stand together and sing One Day.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Dwelt among men, by example is he.
Good to see you this morning. Good to see you in God's house. And I'm delighted to be here. And good to have my wife, Regina, and Angie with me this morning. And this, of course, coming back to Rose Hill is a homecoming for us. And we're delighted to be here with you on these Sundays. Now, next Sunday morning, I won't be here next Sunday morning, but I'll be here next Sunday night. And I mention that because I want you to be here. I'm glad to hear that you're meeting with the Sunday school teachers and those that work in Sunday school next Sunday after the services, because I want you back in the services on Sunday night. Be very important that you be here. The message that I have on Sunday night will be especially designed for you. I want all the deacons to be here on Sunday night. I want all of the, if you have a leadership role at all in the church, I want you to be here. If you attend Sunday school, I want you to be here. If you're a member of the church, I want you to be here on Sunday night. We're talking about restoration. Did I make mention that I really want you here on Sunday night? And so I really do. So you'll be here on Sunday night for the message that I want to share. There's two messages that I have that are vital in any church effort as we think about revival and revitalization. How many of you think that our Baptist churches need to have revival and revitalization? Would you raise your hand? That's the majority of you. So I'm going to need your help. And that means that you need to be here next Sunday evening. And so that'll be next Sunday evening. Then I'll share another message with you later on that I think that is vital that the Lord has given me. And I've preached it everywhere, man, everywhere I've preached that message. But I want to preach it here. And that'll be coming up soon. And I'll let you know when I'm going to do that. The only thing that'll prohibit me from preaching that message, if there's snow or something like that, the weather's prohibitive, I won't preach it because I want you to be here. Did I tell you that I want you to be here next Sunday night? Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. But also, it's good to have Matthew McKenzie and Susan McKenzie in the services with. They're seated right back there. Matthew was on staff with me at the Oakland Avenue Baptist Church. And there's lots of stories. And so if you want to hear some stories about Matthew, see me. If you want to hear stories about me, see Matthew. Amen. And so we have those. And then Susan. Susan was in my wife's Sunday school class when she was teaching Sunday school here at the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And so now she's gone out, and they're ministering in the Carolinas. A church should not be judged only by those they retain. A church should be also judged by those that they send out. And so this church, 60 years of its history, has sent a lot of folks out. There's folks ministering everywhere that have a claim to have membership here at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And what a privilege it is to minister in such a way as that. So it's good to see my buddy Matthew here, but it's also good to have you here as well. Now, I want you to stand with me for the reading of God's holy and errant inspired word. As we do, I want you just to repeat after me as we stand this morning, okay? Just say this. Say, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be depressed. I'm too elected to be rejected. I have more to shout about than to pout about. Well, I attend the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And that means in 2015, I'm going to walk on the sunny side of Hallelujah Boulevard. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now the reading is Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Here it is. The Bible says, but the fullness of time was come. Now I got to tell you that as I read this verse, Dr. David Jeremiah said this was on God's prophetic calendar. And on God's prophetic calendar, he had a star on this verse. Now, if you have a calendar and you use that in 2015, and I know most of you do, most of you may have your calendar on your iPad. Some of you still use a day timer, and you like a written calendar. I use both, and don't do a very good job with either, but I use both. And every once in a while, I'll put a star. And what that means is this is very, very important. This is very important, and this verse represents a star on God's calendar. Very important, because there's going to be a change in dispensations. There'll be a change of times. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, there's a right time. There's God's time. And this was God's time. God sent forth his son made of a woman or born of a woman and made or born under the law. Now, notice, just at the right time, God sent Jesus. Just at the right time. It was the right time religiously. The religious conditions were right. It was the right time culturally. It was a Greek culture. There was a common language throughout the whole world. So the Apostle Paul and the missionaries of the first century church could take the gospel and preach it using a common language of the people around the world. But also, it was the right time politically. It was the politically right time to come, because the Roman government ruled the whole world, and Paul could leave from one point to another place, taking the gospel and never leave his home country. And so the Bible says, in the fullness of time, when the time was just right, God sent Jesus. I want you to understand what you've just celebrated. And so this is what this message is going to be about. I'm going to talk to you about God sending us a deliverer. And by the way, you might go ahead and say, at just the right time. Let's pray together. Could we please? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach behind this sacred desk. I'm grateful for the history of the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I'm grateful for the years that Dr. Charles E. Stewart spent in this church. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the others that have come and preached and proclaimed the gospel. Lord, this church has always been about sharing the good news that Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried and raised again the third day, also according to Scripture. If anyone would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, they could be saved. I'm grateful for the message that's went out. I'm grateful for the hundreds, literally hundreds, that have come to receive Jesus as a result of the ministry of this great church. God, give this church Ashland for Jesus. God, give this church Boyd County for Jesus. God, give this church Kentucky for Jesus. God, give this church the world for Christ Jesus. Help the gospel to begin here and go out throughout the various regions of the world. We give you praise for what you do, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in a mess? You say, well, of course, I've been in messes before, but I'm talking about a big mess. You say, how big the mess? So you couldn't get out yourself. You had a mess going on in your life that was so big, you didn't have enough knowledge, enough power, enough resources financially. to be able to see yourself out. And what you needed a little help. If you didn't get some help, you didn't think you could be able to survive it. Kind of like the psalmist in Psalm 121 said, where can I get some help when I need it? By the way, that's a question every single person in this building will ask sooner or later. Maybe you've already asked that question. Maybe you haven't, but eventually you'll say, where can I get some help? I really need some help. Well, God understood this. And so God knew that you would have that question sooner or later. And guess what God did? God sent a deliverer. Isn't that wonderful? His name is Yeshua. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. He sent Jesus at Christmas time. God sent you and me some help. And so we have a deliverer. And he came, as we said last time, not to do something to you, but to do something for you. Why did God do that? Because God loves you. I mean, God's crazy about you. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if God had a refrigerator, your photo would be on it. Did you know that? I mean, that's how much God loves you. And it is for you. The Bible says this, that he said this to the angel, said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Another word that we could use there is the word deliverer. He did it for you. And so you say, deliver for what? Well, he came to deliver you from something. He came to deliver you to something. And he came to deliver you by something. And so we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But I want you to know that all of us need a deliverer, every single one of us, without exception. It's going to come that time when you say, you know what? I'm in so deep, I can't get out. And I can't do this by myself. I'm going to need some help and being able to do this. And so God knew it. God understood it. So he sent to it. It's a very personal thing because the Bible says, for unto you. Everybody say you. Did you know that Jesus for you? Jesus for everybody. And so this is important for us to understand that. Born this day in the city of David. That's Bethlehem, a Savior or a deliverer. Now you ask the guy on Main Street. You say, man, do you need to be delivered from something? And he would say, well, of course I need to be delivered from something. As we face a new year, there are things that I need to be delivered from. I need to be delivered from my anxieties. So many people that live in our world today have anxiety issues. They worry about everything. And they're so antsy that they actually wear their pants out from the inside out. Amen? Because they worry. Worry is not a weakness. Worry is a wickedness. Did you know that? The Bible says, for us, because we have a deliverer. The Bible says we're not to worry about anything, but we're to do what? We're to pray about everything. We're to take all those cares and concerns to our deliverer. Why? Because he cares for us. Others would say, you know what? I need to be delivered because I have credit card debt. We had a great Christmas, but now I've got to pay for it. Listen, I believe that America needs plastic surgery, amen? I think we need to take our credit cards out and take some scissors and have a little plastic surgery, cut those credit cards up. And some people need that. They have financial issues. Other folks would say, I need deliverance from some people in my life that are crazy makers. How many of you know that some people can actually drive you crazy? If you don't believe that, ask Regina back there, my wife, before you leave here today. She can tell you about me, how I drive her crazy at times. Sometimes we need deliverance from that. Sometimes people would say, I need deliverance from a bad temper. I have my temper is so bad, it's like a loaded shotgun with a hair trigger. Least little thing will set me off. Be delivered from my bad temper. It could be that you need to be delivered from addiction. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. My caffeine addiction. Now, we wouldn't smoke a joint, but the Christian drug of choice is caffeine. We'll certainly get tanked up on a pot of coffee, won't we? We'll do that. As Christians, we'll do that. Or nicotine or overeating. But, you know, the average person doesn't realize, but spiritually we need to be delivered. And Jesus can deliver us from all of those kinds of things. We used to say, you need to be saved, brother. What we meant by that is you need a deliverer in your life. You need to have a life that has meaning and purpose in your life. And Jesus has come to provide us all of those things. As a matter of fact, three ways that Jesus provides deliverance for you and me. First of all, we begin with He came to deliver us from something. Everybody say from, F-R-O-M. He came to deliver us from something. Now, this is big. I mean, really big. Now, I have a lot of buddies back in the mountains. And Jesse Boyd knows what it's like to live in the mountains. Herb Charles knows what it's like to live in the mountains. And I got a lot of friends back there. One of them, his name is Bob Norman. Now, you may not know Bob Norman, but Bob Norman would have known Mike Rout, especially. He would have been good friends with Mike Rout because they went to the same church in West Kentucky. Both of them called to be preachers out of that same church. But Bob Norman would have me to come and do revivals for him. It's kind of amazing what Bob Norman would do during the course of a revival meeting. We had pack a pew. Ever pack a pew in a revival meeting? And he had guys pack a pew. He said, if you pack a pew for me during revival, I've got a special gift that I'm going to give you. They just worked hard, packed pews, filled the church house for our revival. And when it came time for the gift, he said, you know what? My cat just had a litter of kittens. And everybody packed a pew gets a cat. Amen. By the way, I'm kind of partial to cats this morning. Amen. Cats. Amen. I just had to throw that in. Amen. And for all you Louisville fans, I want you to know I have a poem. I like red. I like blue. But most of all, I like blue. Amen. That's it. And so what was I talking about? Bob Norman. And Bob Norman would say, morning service, he said, man, you all want to be back tonight. You come back to the revival services tonight, and I'm going to bring the fellow with me tonight that has given me more trouble in my ministry than anybody else that I know. I'm bringing him with me tonight. And they think, wow, I got to go see this, because Bob's been in ministry for over 30 years. And so they would come back on a Sunday night, and Bob would introduce himself. Because Bob would say, I've caused myself more problems in my ministry than anybody else that I know. He said, I want to be blunt. He said, I'm the source of most of my problems. But you know, I thought about Bob Norman. I thought, you know, the same thing is true with us. The same thing is true with those folks, dear people that I love that attend the Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Got to be honest with you, we're the source of our problems, mostly. I mean, I think about habits that we need to work on for 2015. You got any of those that you're going to be working on? Hey, guess what? They're your habits. Or I thought about those thoughts that you have. Your thought life, so important. By the way, your mind is the citadel of your soul. You are what you think. You know, people say, well, what happened to him in ministry? What on earth happened to her? Why, she used to be one of the leading Sunday school teachers. What happened to him? He used to be such a great preacher. What happened? Well, we don't always know. But we know one thing's always true. It begins with a thought in the mind that should not be there. And they entertain a thought. And there's something wrong with the thought life. Well, listen, they're their thoughts. If you got thoughts that you need to be dealing with, listen, they're your thoughts. Or you have feelings of anxiety. You have certain fears. Well, they're your feelings. They're your fears. Or if you have resentments and unforgiveness, it belongs to you. It doesn't belong to somebody else. It's yours. And so we have to be really honest. I mean, we're our biggest problem that we face in 2015. Would you not agree? Rick Warren said this. He said, frankly, he said, we're the problem. He said, frankly, we are the problem. Listen, did you know that we were all born with a big eye? Now, that's what Dr. Charles Stanley calls it. Now, Dr. Charles Stanley, listen, his words are not inspired, but they're pretty close. Amen. They're pretty close to being inspired. Dr. Stanley says we have a big eye. What does he mean? We have a bent towards being self-centered. We have a bent in that direction. Here's what we say. Here's to me and here's to you. Maybe we never disagree, but if we do, here's to me. That's what we say. We have a bent. That's okay. You can laugh at these things. It's okay. It's therapy. It's therapy. And so the big eye. Listen, if we didn't have that, bent towards self-centeredness, there'd be no conflict. There'd be no divorce. There'd be no racism. There'd be no greed. There'd be no gossip. There'd be no division if we didn't have that bent towards self-centeredness. But what we do is, listen, what we try to do, by the way, did you know the Wicca, the popularity with Wicca and witchcraft and all that, you know, it's just self-worship. That's all it is. It comes naturally. Yeah, it's going to feel right. Why? Because we've been born with that bent to be so self-centered, to think, you know what, God wants the center part of my life. God wants my world to revolve around Him. And instead we say, no, God, I'm sitting on that throne. The world is going to revolve around me. And so we become so self-centered. By the way, that's the way we are in Baptist life. I'm going all around Kentucky and trying to talk folks out of being a me church, where it's all about me. The music that I like, and the hymns that I like, and the type of preaching that I like, and all of this stuff. Where do we come up with that? Listen, it's not about you, folks. It's about who, class? It's about Him. And so we ought not to be looking for what pleases us. We ought to be thinking about what pleases Him. The Bible says, surely there's not a righteous man upon the earth. Surely there's not. Who does good and never sins. But, you know, it's so possible for us to become self-deceived. The Bible says this. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we do what? We deceive ourselves. And it goes on to say this, and the truth is not in us. And by the way, how many of you remember Rick Frazier from First Baptist Church, Louisa? Several of you remember Rick. And Rick's out of this. He has ties back to Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Did you know that? Did you know that he was the pastor of our South Shore Mission? That's now South Shore Missionary Baptist Church or whatever they are, Southern Baptist Church or whatever they are over there. But Rick did that, and he taught history. He taught my daughter Angie here at Rose Hill Christian School. He taught history, and so Rick has a history in this church. But anyway, Rick had a pastor friend in Eppin, Louisa several years ago. And a pastor friend told Rick, said, man, he said, I'm celebrating. Rick said, that's great, man. What are you celebrating? He said, I'm celebrating 7 years of living a sinless life. And Rick said, man, I bet you're proud of that. He said, I sure am. Amen. How many of you know pride's a sin? Just want you to be with me. And some folks will say, listen, what we need is willpower. We just need a little bit more willpower and we can overcome ourselves. Listen, we need more than willpower. If you don't believe that, listen, go to the Y this next week. You won't find a parking spot. Because we're trying to lose that, right? Amen. And by the way, it's not politically correct to call us fat anymore. You can't do that. It is now nutritionally enhanced. That's the new politically correct term. And please don't call me old, okay? The new politically correct term is numerically gifted. So I'm a numerically gifted, nutritionally enhanced pastor. But listen, willpower is not enough. Here's what Paul said. He said, I don't understand my own actions. In Romans chapter 7, he said, the very thing that I loathe, that's the very thing that I find myself doing. He said this. He said, I know nothing good dwells in me. I'm unhappy. Describes you as we begin the process of entering into a new year. Maybe you're just flat unhappy. Paul said, I'm pitiable and wretched. Then he asked this question, who can deliver me? Where am I going to find a deliverer? Who can help me in this current state that I find myself in? And God said at Christmas time, I know what I'm going to do because I love them. I'm going to send them a deliverer. And his name is Yeshua. Call his name Yeshua. Call his name the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's come to be our deliverer. Paul was saying, I need God. I wonder, as we approach a new year, I wonder, do you need God? Because without God, there's confusion, depression, conflict, discouragement, divisions, and emptiness without God. Why, if you live your life without God, here's the way you'll feel about your life. You'll feel so guilty. I'm wondering, is there anybody in this room, you don't have to raise your hand, that just feels guilty?
I mean, you don't know why. You just feel guilty. There's shame in your life. Or maybe you're filled with resentment or unforgiveness, or you have regrets. Listen, you know what? Your inner being is saying to you? You need God. You need to have a personal relationship with the living God through Christ Jesus, his son, his unique son. By the way, he's the beloved son, which means there's nobody in the universe quite like Jesus. God has many sons. God has many daughters, but there's none that's like Jesus. And that's important. So here's the solution. You say, what is the solution? Well, you know, the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. That's where we're at. We need to turn from something, and we need to turn to someone as we look at 2015. And the something we need to turn from is sin and self. And the someone that we need to turn to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Why? Because we're just like Paul. We need God. So we need a deliverer. We need to turn from something. But then also, we need to be delivered for something. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you need to be delivered for something. Would you look at your neighbor right now and tell them that? You need to be delivered for something. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, I'm talking about, please listen to me. You listening? Say amen. You need meaning and purpose in your life. You need to be living for something. And Christians would say you need to be living for someone. Now, I grew up back in the 1960s, and as I did, the Beatles were popular. And that wasn't good for our household because my dad was a barber. When the Beatles became popular, nobody got haircuts anymore. Amen? And so, but anyway, they sang a song entitled Nowhere Man. And the lyrics go, nowhere man in a nowhere land going nowhere. And maybe that describes you, sister. Maybe you're a nowhere woman in a nowhere land going nowhere. Maybe that describes you, brother. Maybe you're a nowhere man in a nowhere land going nowhere. And so, but that's not why God created you. Do you know what the Bible says about God? He chose you. You believe that, don't you? God chose you. Why did God choose you? Why has God still got you around? Why is he still leaving you around? Why are you still hanging around? God saves a people. Why does God save a people? So they can be on mission with him. And what's God's mission? His mission is a redemptive one, seeking to save that which is lost. And God wants you to join him in his mission. He wants to work through you to redeem a lost world unto himself. Amen or oh me. And so this is what God has wanted us to do. We have a tendency, though, to drift from the mission. We're all like sheep. And the Bible says we've gone what, class? Gone astray. But listen to what the Bible says about King David. The Bible said after he'd served God's purpose in his own generation. Think about the power in that verse. After he had served God's purpose in his own generation. Listen, I love you. But I was a member here a long time ago. And you know, that's we can't stay there. You're not responsible for what happened under our watch when we were here. You're not responsible for what's going to happen way out there someplace in the distant future. You're not responsible for that. Guess what, Rose Hill Baptist Church? You know what you're responsible for? You're responsible for things going on right now. That's what you're responsible for. This is your watch. This is your time. This is why God's called you. Bible says, after he'd served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried among his forefathers. I thought about that. I thought, man, something, Brother Harold, to go on my tombstone. I don't know. You get old like this, you start thinking about that, you know. Reg and I said, we went out looking the other day, looking at grave plots and different places, you know. And Reg said she didn't want to buy one there, and I said, why not? She said she didn't know any of the people around there. So I mercy. But anyway, she didn't say that. I'm just lying to you. But anyway, wouldn't it be something to have the date of birth? and where that dash is at, before you get to the date of death, it would say they serve God, God's purpose, in their own generation. They fulfilled and did what God would have them to do in their own generation. They lived a life for God. See, all of us are on three different, there's three different levels of life, and all of us find ourselves somewhere here. It's either you're at the survival level, the success level, or the significance level, and most of us are on the survival level. Survival, most of us just kind of get by. We have family members that are like that. We could tell you stories. There's a lot of people throughout the world that are like that. There's 6 billion people in the world that live on less than $2 a day. They live on less than $2 a day. And so the survival level, but then there's the success level, and that's where most of us in America are at. And, you know, the flu's been going around, but that's not our number one disease. It's not fluenza. It's influenza. It's the affluenza. That's the disease that we're, the affluence that we have in our society today. Most of us are there, the success level. But the significance level, this is where we want to be. This is the purpose-driven life. A life with meaning and a life with purpose. That's what will put a little spit in your step and a little sparkle in your eye and give you something to live for in 2015. Amen? Amen. Or oh me. Jesus said, for whoever will save his life will shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. What is Jesus talking about? Talking about giving a life for significance. To saying, God, I am a priest. How many of you know that you're a priest of God? How many of you know that? How many of you know that priests have a responsibility of offering sacrifices? And how many of you know that the sacrifice that God would have you to offer is your body? Bible says it's a reasonable sacrifice. You bring your body and say, God, here is my body. It's a reasonable act of worship on my part that you would have my body to serve you in this current generation. And I'm going to do it for God's sake and for God's honor and for God's glory. And so we need to be delivered to something, but then finally we need to be delivered by something. So look at your neighbor and say, we need to be delivered by something. Would you do that real quick? Now, in America, this is tough for us because in America, we believe in hard work and self-effort. We say things like this, there's no such thing as a free what class? Lunch. We say things like this, says we get what we what? Pay for. We say if you want something done right, you do what? Do it yourself. We say God helps those who what? Helps himself. We say that's in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. And so salvation, listen, salvation is completely opposite of that. Salvation is not trying. Salvation is trusting. Salvation is not getting what you deserve. Salvation is understanding, I don't deserve it, but God gives it to me anyway. That's salvation. Because the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it's a gift from God. So we've been delivered by something, and it's called God's grace. And the word grace just means favor. And since it comes from God to a sinner, listen, it's undeserved. So it's God's undeserved favor. Spurgeon says, I'm throwing all my good works overboard and lashing myself to the plank of free grace. I'm just going to, if I'm going to make it into heaven, I understand that it's not going to be on the basis of my works, because it's not on the basis of what I do, but it's on the basis of what he's done. And so I'm going to serve him. I serve him. I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. So grace, G-R-A-C-E, G, God's, R, riches, A, at, and then C, Christ, and then E, expense. You've heard this before, God's riches and Christ's expense. And we're living in a day of grace. And that's exactly what God was saying in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, but when the fullness of time had come, there's a new dispensation, and you're living in it. It's called a day of grace. It means that every single soul that's here today without Jesus, on the basis of his grace, you can be saved today if you're willing to surrender your life to Christ. But also it means that for us as believers, that God provides every single thing that we need as believers to do exactly what God has called us to do. Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church, God has given you His divine favor, and you can accomplish what God has called you to do. It's all by His grace. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What does that mean? Does that mean I can go over and sit down and play the piano like Matthew McKenzie? No. But here's what it does mean. It means that God has a reason for Paul Badgett existing. By the way, everybody's been asking me, what shall we call you? Call me BP, Brother Paul. Brother Paul. Everybody say BP. It's not Pastor Paul. That'd be a different initial, okay? You figure it out. God has given me the grace I need to do exactly what God's called me to do. God's given you the grace that you need to do exactly what God has called you to do. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe means to put your confidence and your faith and your trust in Jesus. Peter Drucker was once a brilliant thinker in modern management, and during the 20th century he was asked why he became a Christian, and he said, I finally understood the doctrines of grace. When I understood grace, he said, I realized that I was faced with the best deal of my life. The best deal. God invited me to bring all of my sin and my filthiness and my unrighteousness and bring it to Him, and He in turn would bestow His righteousness upon me. It's a wonderful thing, the grace of God. I have a lot of memories that go with serving here at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I have a lot of great memories. One of the memories was that when we became members here, and Jesse Boyd and Brother Boyd were, you know, very kind to us. I used to sit right down there where Dave Pinkston is sitting right now. That's where I would sit. And Brother Boyd would come in every service and shake our hand. I really don't think if it wasn't that deacon come by to shake my hand, I think I would have taken off, because this place kind of spooked me just a little bit when I first came. It spooked my wife, too. I used to think Lottie Moon was a bowling league. I really did when I first came. I just didn't have anybody to explain things to me. But eventually, we kind of caught on. It's a great place. And we attended Boys Bible School. This was here in this church. And that's when we determined that we were Baptists. Was as we attended Boys Bible School. We became Baptists by conviction, by the way, and I think that they teach it the closest. If I didn't, I'd be something else, but I'm a Baptist by conviction. But also one of our classes was at the Oakland Avenue Baptist Church. The Oakland Avenue Baptist Church, we went there one night for class, and Dr. John Ross was our director of missions at that time, and he was teaching the class, and they had a little street urchin, and I found out later that after I pastored at Oakland Avenue that a lot of people knew who this little guy fellow was. And he would visit our class from time to time. As I'm here with you for a few weeks preaching, I'll tell you more about this little fellow in one of the classes especially. I'll wait till Linda Biggs gets back, because she was also in that same class. But we're on the parking lot of Oakland Avenue, and this little boy came up on his bicycle. He'd been playing out on the streets all day long, and it was hot. It was in the early fall, but it was hot outside, and he'd been sweating, and he had all that street dust all over him, and where he'd sweat, he'd take his hands and wipe them down his chest, and he didn't have a shirt on, and you could just see his handprints going down the front of his chest. He had a wad of tobacco on one side of his mouth, climbing on one of the air conditioning units. Dr. Ross at that time said, I want to go witness that little boy. And so he went across the way, to visit that little boy. Dr. Ross had one of those big Bibles. By the way, get yourself a big Bible. Moody said, get a big Bible. That's a witness. Carry a big Bible with you. Dr. Ross had one of those big Bibles. He walked over where that little boy was at, playing on those air-conditioned units, and he said, son, he said, come here. And the little boy came down there and stood there, and he spit in his tobacco. Dr. Ross held up that Bible. He said, son, do you know what this is? I sat there and watched that little boy. He straightened up. He fixed his hair. He wiped his hair back like this. He took that wad of tobacco and he threw it down in the dirt. And as he looked up, he looked at Dr. Ross. He said, I sure do, sir.
He said, that's God's holy word. And you know what God's holy word? I believe it's God's holy word too. I agree with that little boy. And God's holy word says that at Christmas time, God sent Jesus as a deliverer. Deliver you from something, and that is from sin and self. To deliver you to something, and that is a purposeful life, a meaningful life. And then beyond that, also to deliver you by something, and that's by God's grace. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. How many would say this morning, Brother Paul, I'm a Christian. I want you to remember me, especially this next year, that I would, that as I begin the process of living a Christian life for a brand new year, remember me especially. I want to live a purposeful life. Would you just raise your hand with this morning all over the building so I can remember to pray especially for you? Thank you. You put your hands back down. And some of you, listen, didn't raise your hand because you don't know me very well. You think I'm an okay guy, but you don't trust me yet, just quite yet. But at the same time, some of you didn't raise your hand because you're not a Christian. Listen, I want you to know that you can be delivered this morning. You can be delivered from something, and that's sin and self. And you can be delivered to something, and that is a life that has meaning and purpose. And you can be delivered by something, and that's God's grace. So if you're either listening by radio on a Monday night, you tune this program in, or you're in this auditorium this morning, and you're listening to my voice, listen, what you need to do is be willing to turn. You look to God and say, God, I want to turn. I want to accept Jesus into my life. God's speaking to you right now. He's knocking at your heart's door, and this morning you need to open up and let Jesus into your heart. And so I'm going to ask you to do that this morning. Say yes to Jesus. You say, what do I say? Just say, God, save me. I'm a sinner. God, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn from myself. I want to be saved. And then, God, by your grace, teach me how to live. As I come under the discipleship of perhaps this great church, Christian people that will come alongside, help you, teach you how to live the Christian life. There's no life greater to be lived on planet Earth than the Christian life. So if you're here this morning, I want you to know the drug addict doesn't have the best life to live. The alcoholic doesn't have the best life to live. The prostitute doesn't have the best life to live. The Christ rejecter doesn't have the best life to live. An atheist doesn't have the best life to live. The best life to live on planet Earth is the Christian life. So dear unsaved friend, would you receive Jesus today? Would you right where you're seated invite Jesus in your heart and life? And then as I give the invitation in just a few moments, would you come? And would you give me the right hand of Christian fellowship? You give me your hand, but at the same time, you give your heart to Jesus. Would you be willing to do that? Now, Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that I've had to spend with some folks that I dearly love. I know a lot of the folks in this room, some folks I don't know, but I want to get to know them. And I want, Lord, you to bless them in their lives and help us, God, to have a successful 2015. If we're ever going to be successful, we have to understand that we've been delivered from something, been delivered for something, and we've been delivered by something. And it's by God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for this Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. During the invitation, you feel freedom. You have freedom. You come.